Well, good morning. So you've been talking about the names of God just for a few weeks here. It's a great study. God wants us to know Him. It's an undeniable fact. As we read throughout Scripture, we see God constantly trying and revealing Himself to us in great ways. John 17:3. I love how Jesus defines this. And just a little side note, and we've heard this many, many times, but it bears repeating, and that is, let Scripture interpret itself. Man just messes things up and gets in the way. So when John 17:3, when Jesus says eternal life is this, to know God and to know Jesus. That's what eternal life is. Eternal life is not just some ticket to heaven for all eternity and live miserably here on life, on the earth. Eternal life is something that you possess now. It's that gateway into the very presence of God. And God reveals Himself through the means of many names. And those names, as I said, reveal a person's character, their authority, their power. Your name bears that same thing. Every name bears that same thing. So we've looked at a couple of the names so far. We've been looking at Elohim. Genesis 1:1, how God first reveals Himself. God is powerful, as creator, as covenant maker. And just in that name, we're able to see, number one, God is all powerful. There's no one that has more power than He does. But then He goes farther. He uses that power to create this world, to create all of creation, and then the pinnacle to create mankind. And then He goes a step farther, and that He reveals Himself as a God who makes covenants with mankind. Why? Because He doesn't care about us? He wants to remain distant? No, because He wants that fellowship restored. Yes. He cares about that. You are not an animal. It is not an apples to apples comparison. You did not evolve from some gooey mush. You were created and crafted by the hand of God. And so we need to understand, I'm not just going through, okay, there's that name, and there's this name, and there's this name. We're not compartmentalizing. No, we're building upon. Because as we saw here with Moses, when God revealed Himself as Yahweh, or also there as Adonai, Jehovah, all those names had links to each other. We see that God didn't separate, okay, forget the old one, here's a new name. No, He built upon it. You see, Abraham, when we're kind of in the middle here between Genesis and Moses, was Abraham. Abraham needed God as El Shaddai, which we began talking about last time, because that was the name that he needed. God called him separated from his people, his home, his place, everything familiar, to somewhere foreign and distant. So he needed to know God was his provider. That was the name Abraham needed at that time. Did he need Yahweh? Did he need a deliverer? No, that wasn't a relevant name to him. Now fast forward to Moses. They're in bondage. They needed the name Yahweh. They needed the name Jehovah, who would deliver them, but then they would need a provider in the wilderness. They still needed Elohim. Absolutely. So God is not just trying to compartmentalize. This study is not meant to just, okay, here's one name, forget it, move on to the next name. No, we're building upon, and I want you to be able to see how they all connect and relate to each other. Why? So that you can have a fuller picture of who God wants to be to you, who He still is today. He is still Elohim. He is still Yahweh. He is still Jehovah. He is still Adonai. He is still El Shaddai. And there's many more, which we'll get to as we get to them. But I want you to see and understand, as God wants you to see and understand, who He is. And the most important name for you today is whatever name you need. Moses and Abraham needed different names of God, different attributes of who He was, based upon their need, which was based upon what God was calling them to. See, following through what God's called you to do, your name is insufficient. You're going to have to rely upon some aspect of His name. But it all relates to relying on Him. But see it a little different here too. It isn't just equipping you to help yourself in fulfilling what God's called you to do. This is also you helping your fellow brothers and sisters in what God's called them to do. Do any of us know it all? No. But we're here to come alongside one another and help each other grow and fulfill. As the body of Christ, what's best for me is what's best for you. Wherever you and God's grace and gifts and talents in your life, wherever you can be connected and flow well, that's going to be best for me. This is our physical body. I can bang my thumb with a hammer. My thumb's going to hurt, but it kind of affects the rest of me too. It just does. We understand that as our physical body. What about our spiritual body? So as we're growing, let's grow together. And just one other clarification. As we're studying these names of God, they aren't designed to, again, compartmentalize and think, oh, well, Shane, we're past all the Old Testament, so we're into Jesus. Jesus is the only name that matters today. Well, then you're just saying the Old Testament's irrelevant. What you're failing to see is that all those names of God in the Old Testament helps you have a fuller picture of who Jesus is. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you want to know who Jesus is better, get to know the Father as he revealed himself. They are one. All through the book of John, especially 10, 14, 17, so many other places, he's saying, I only do what the Father tells me to do. He and I are one. I and him, he and me. Over and over and over and over. They are one and the same. So as we're getting to the names of God, these are also attributes of Jesus. So as you call on the name of Jesus, you may need a specific aspect of these things, but they're one and the same. So just keep that in mind as we're going through here. We jumped in then to El Shaddai. We began talking about that. The God of more than enough. I love that. Yes. It's not the God who is just enough, not the God who is barely enough, but the God of more than enough. The God of more than enough. You know, we do fundraisers throughout the school here, and I have a goal that I set. Let me tell you how exciting it is when more than enough comes in. More than enough. You know what? Then I can do more.
That's right.
God doesn't give you just more than enough to just, you know, store it somewhere. He gives you more than enough to use it as he would have you do it. Not just extra for your pleasure and benefit. It's extra, in our mind, extra. But for him, it's what the original plan was. For you to have this to do this with. All according to his will. Abraham 17 is where he first revealed that. I'm sorry, Genesis 17 to Abraham. Genesis 17. And we begin looking at that. We're going to kind of break this down to two aspects, looking at kind of the context of what led up to God revealing this name to Abraham. Because that journey for Abraham is very important for us to understand, because maybe we'll find ourselves somewhere along the way. And then secondly, what happened afterwards? What was the result then of that name, of Abraham grasping the revelation of that name and moving forward? But as I was studying this, there's a lot of different ways to look at studying this whole aspect of El Shaddai and the life of Abraham. And some things God really impressed upon me specific for today, I want to just share with you. And we mentioned this last time, whether it's Abraham, whether it's Pastor Bill, whether it's Billy Graham, don't ever put people on a pedestal in your mind. In some way, excluding yourself from any realm of accountability and responsibility to what God's called us to do. Acknowledge the grace in someone's life. But let's be very careful. Abraham was a far from perfect specimen of what we might think somebody on a pedestal should be. His life had problems and issues. But what does God focus on? Does he focus on our failures or on our faith? On our faith. And that's what we're going to focus on. God doesn't just, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. He doesn't justify or excuse our failures in terms of sin. He still requires us to come to a place of repentance, which is turning back to him, so we can keep moving forward in what he's called us to do. But he doesn't dwell on that. He doesn't keep bringing it up. Remember how you messed up here, and you messed up here, and you messed up here? That's what Satan does. He can differentiate those voices, because it's not the Lord. It's Satan. The Lord may bring conviction, but Satan brings condemnation. There's a world of difference. One leads you forward, one pulls you back. And that's an important distinction to make in our lives. So Abraham, God focuses on his faith. He's remembered as the father of faith, not the father of failures. Did he fail at times? Yeah. He really messed up at times. But he kept his heart right and moved forward with God. God can use our failures to help build our faith. That doesn't mean that God caused those trials or failures just so it could build your faith. That's another erroneous doctrine that gets in there. Well, God just causes everything to teach me something. That's a load of hogwash. It's just junk. It is completely unscriptural. If I go up to you and I just slap you across the face, well, you can't get upset at me. That must have been God's will to teach you something. That's where that logic takes us. What sense does that make? It doesn't. But it's a person's attempt to understand God apart from understanding who he is. And you'll always end in error and mistake. If we just understand who God is, it will keep us on the right bearings and headed in the right direction in life. God does not cause our failures and trials, but he can always use them if we let him. Again, it comes back to us. We have to choose. We have the choices to make. So God sees us not according to our failures, but according to the hope of who we can become as a result of his working in us. I love Ephesians 2:10. For we, put your name in there, we are his workmanship. Shane is his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Shane Lehman was created for great things. Interject your name. You were created. Whether or not you see it in your life is irrelevant. You were created for great things in the eyes of God. Your children, your grandchildren were created for great things. Your coworkers, the most ungodly person you know, was created for great things. When you look at that person, when you think of that person, do you think of them and see them just according to how they are in the flesh? Or through the eyes of God, of man, there's hope there. There's potential there if we can just get it on track with God. Never, ever lose hope for yourself or for anyone else. Never. There is potential there. I'm so glad God didn't give up on Saul, that he became Paul. There are so many examples even in Scripture about things like that. People who people were afraid from and fled from because their life was everything opposite of promoting God. They were persecuting the people of God. And yet, God can intervene. And I believe there were people who were praying, making intercession for Saul. So no matter what world leader or person in your life is completely headed in the wrong and persecuting and promoting evil, there's always hope for God to intervene. Never relinquish your prayer of faith. You, each person, was created for good things. Now, this next part here, this is where I really felt to drill down in deeper today. I didn't feel it. The Lord really impressed this upon me. Sometimes we use phrases that mean different things. So when I say, I feel, I mean, I was strongly impressed by the Lord to drill down on this. I had said last time that quote from Ed Cole, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You don't have, there's not some prerequisite of what you have to do or accomplish in life before you can come to God to receive salvation or before you can receive the Holy Spirit or before, no, it's just you come to God as you are, humbly, not expecting him to accept all of your sin, but it's because if you see the problem of your sin that you come to him to begin with. Not to be given permission to continue in it, but so you can be delivered from it. Big difference. God doesn't care how many titles or initials you have after your name. The only ones he cares about, like PhD, all he cares about is S-O-N, or D-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, son or daughter. That's what God cares about. He wants everyone to become part of his family. Everyone. And then we need to look at each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord, as he would have us see them. See, worldly titles only have value if they equip you to do the will of God. Otherwise, they have no value. None in the eyes of God. You can go to school and go to college and get 1,000 degrees and it not be the will of God. And in God's eyes, you wasted your time and that was worthless. But if you come to the place where you realize I was pursuing the wrong things, God, I give this to you. Guess what? He will use it. He will use it. But I will say from my own experience, the sooner we can get a hold of God, the better. All right? I was in that place in college. I kept changing my major, my focus, my concentration. I had no clue. I was trying to pursue, well, I like this, so I'll try that. No, I like this, so I'll try that. I like this. And it finally came where my dreams almost, finally they had to die. And they almost took me with them. I'm thankful they didn't. But it brought me to a place of, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Help. I'm done trying. And he began, as he always had been, to try to lead me and guide me. And that path started of hearing about missions and then going on a trip, and then an explosion of desire grew in me, and then meeting my future wife, and then coming to this church, and where do I start, or how do I start? Well, I just start by serving. Oh, okay, what can I start? Start serving. Oh, cleaning and changing and whatever I could. And then it's where it starts. But you got to start. You got to start somewhere. See, God doesn't give you talents and then keep you from using them. He gives you them. He wants them just to be used for his glory. He has a purpose for them. God has equipped you with unique gifts and talents. Those things he's placed within you are unique. My index finger is different than my big toe. They're unique. I couldn't try to swap them out. It's not going to work so well. They're unique. And how they add value to the body as well. I love Proverbs 18:16. I want you to see this. Proverbs 18:16. And it says this, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift. So first that tells us, guess what? Man has gifts. You have a gift, talent, strength, whatever you want to call it. Something that God has uniquely put in you to be used for his glory, to help the body of Christ, to bring glory to God for his purposes. You have those things already within you inherently. But as we've heard from this pulpit many times, as Pastor Bill has said many times, we have a responsibility then to develop that gift, to develop those things. We just can't trust in them. See, the verse doesn't say, a man makes room for his gift. It says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. You don't have to go around kicking down doors to make room for what you believe is a gift in you. And I've had people that I've known in my life who have tried that. They've tried to, they felt like, well, something's wrong with the timing or this or for that. So they've tried to force a place for their gift to be in operation. Did the gift exist? Yes. But clearly their heart wasn't right and they felt they had to make room for it. And it only hurts the body of Christ. Not helps it. God's timing is never behind. Ours is usually ahead. I've meditated on this scripture for many, many years. And it really helped me take a deep breath and realize I don't have to do this. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm just going to keep walking with the Lord. And as his spirit brings up and brings into exercise these gifts and strengths and talents and whatever else, then doors will open. But the Lord said this actually just a few months ago, and I'll share a brief testimony about this. He said, just because your gift will make room for you doesn't mean you're supposed to walk through every door that it opens. Just because your gift, your strength, your talent, your unique things may make room or open doors for you doesn't mean you're to walk through every door that it opens. Case in point, myself. You know, I started doing a very good thing and helping out at my local polling place. And they, let's just say the guy, they call the judge of elections is the guy kind of oversees each polling place. And very quickly they began to pick up and identify this administrative grace or gift in my life that I don't make happen. It just naturally comes out for better or for worse sometimes. But and he just began to say, hey, we have this need. Everyone here is the average age is like 85. Who's helping out? We could use some young blood. We could be help and this and that. And it's a really, really good thing to do. And it's not really a whole lot of time. But anyway, so I remembered back to when the Lord had said to me, 2011, 12, somewhere around in there, talking with Katie, about not to pursue anything with politics. Because it would be a distraction to what he was calling me to. So now fast forward over about a decade, and I revisit that with the Lord. I thought, well, it's kind of in the realm of politics, kind of not, I don't know. Well, I'll ask him. And I didn't really hear anything. So I made the assumption, oh, but he must be okay with it. Okay, he's not saying no, must be okay with it. So I said, sure. And I ran, and I got elected, and just didn't quite have a full peace about that. You know, the devil is more than happy to let you do a bunch of good things in life, as long as they keep you or distract you from God's things. Yes. But can't just think the devil's things are evil things. No, the devil's fine with good. He's okay. As long as you are not doing what God wants you to do, that's where he begins to make you a target. But all the good things to distract you, go right ahead. Go right ahead. And I went back to this and said to the Lord, Lord, did I mess up? Did I miss something here? And he said, the absence of my word to proceed wasn't the justification to change things. He said, my preceding word hasn't changed. What I had to realize is, I can't see the future. Big revelation, right? You can't see the future. You don't know what's coming ahead. You don't know what God's going to have you do. What you do know is you need to be in a position of readiness that when whatever comes, right, you're ready and able to move forward. Amen. And whatever God would have you do, at a moment's notice. And I realized this good thing that in my mind didn't seem like it was a whole lot of time, it was a helpful thing, a needed thing. Wasn't the thing for me. So what did I have to do? I got myself into this and prayed for God to help me get out of it. And I had to go to them and say, I'm sorry, I can't move forward. I got elected, I'm sorry, I can't. And talk to the guy, judge of elections, who's a believer, praise the Lord. So he understands. I could approach it from a scriptural standpoint. He's like, man, whatever God told you to do, you have to do that. It could clearly bother him a bit where he had invested a lot of time and training in me, and I wasn't able to. But bottom line is, I have to be only where God wants me to be. I can't take on good things that could then keep me from what God's wanting me to do. Be very careful of what you commit to. Your gift, your talent may make room for you and open up doors. Don't just assume you should walk through them. It's because your grace opened it. Seek the Lord about those things and look to him to lead you through and discern which doors, if any, of new ones that come up. I think of Eric Little. He was a Scottish sprinter, missionary. He said, when I run, I can feel the joy of the Lord. And you get to see God smiling. Did he have a gift, a talent for running and sprinting? Very much so. Very much so. And he developed it and he used it so long as it didn't get in the way of him doing what God wanted him to do. And the big thing for him, which should be a big thing for us, is honoring the Sabbath. I'm not trying to impose a works mentality, because if that's how you're hearing this, then it's you're not hearing me right. The Ten Commandments are still very relevant today. How we love God and how we show that love and respect and honor the things he's called us to. We are to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, set apart for him, for his pleasure. It's for him. And he had an opportunity to go, his talent opened the door for Eric to go to the Olympics, to represent his nation. That's not a big thing. We just had the Olympics here, the Winter Olympics recently. All the best in the world who qualified. That's an amazing thing. I'm not trying to detract from the value of that. However, when he found out that in order for him to do this in a certain aspect, a certain race, was going to conflict with his conviction to honor the Sabbath, he said, no. Boy, was he persecuted, he made fun of, he whatever else. But guess what? God made a way for him to still use that gift and grace of running. And he got a gold medal in the 400, and I think it was a silver or bronze in the 200. And God was able to still use that, but he held to his convictions. Now, I'm not trying to impose his conviction on anybody. What I'm saying is we have to know our convictions. Because your talent, I love how someone said this, your talent can take you to a place where your character can't keep you. And you will compromise. When opportunities for exercising your talent conflict with the will of God, what choice do you make? You know, we can tend to justify it a lot. Well, I can be a good influence, I can this and that, and you know, that road of compromise is riddled with justifications, even very seemingly good ones. But it's still the path of disobedience. God's plan never keeps you from the best things of life. It opens that up to you. Your talent is not an excuse for disobedience. And the fact that God gave you a talent is not his seal of approval for you to use it in conflict with his will. I really, really hope you're not hearing me from the lens of trying to impose some kind of works on you. I'm trying to bring you into greater understanding of the heart of God. He's given you gifts and talents and strengths, these things unique to you, to benefit the body of Christ, to be used for his glory. Because he has people he wants to reach. Eric Little was able to use his skill and talent for running as a platform to draw attention to do what? Emphasize his glory? No, he preached the gospel. He was able to use that to emphasize God's glory, to bring glory to God, to lead people to him. And that's what we need to be doing, the same thing. We need to build our character before we try and build on our talent. Because character is to guide talent. Your talent cannot guide your character. Build your character. You parents, grandparents, whatever degree you can have influence on your children, grandchildren, help them build character. The ability to make the decision and discern between, well, I have two opportunities here. One looks really good, but I'm going to compromise the will of God here. But maybe it's a little thing. Maybe God will be okay with it because I'm doing this for his glory, using a grace that he's given me, so it's from him. No. They have to realize there's no compromise. No compromise. Don't worry about it. Your gift will make room for you, and God will lead you through those right doors. But not every door is the right door. Trust in God to lead you and guide you. See, little compromises lead to bigger ones. God's promotion plan always, always focuses on character. The world's promotion plan focuses on talent. Which do you value more? If you value the treasures of this world, then all you'll care is the world's plan. You will follow whatever door your talent opens. And how many times have we heard stories of people, famous actors, actresses, singers, musicians, who have followed the door of talent, who were once Christian, maybe even started using their talent in the church, but then their talent took them to where their character could not keep them. These formative years of training children, oh my goodness, if you're a stay-at-home mom or whatever, where you have just to be around your kids a lot, please make the most of those times. That is so important. The influence, the impartation you can bring to your children and your grandchildren to help them develop this core foundation of building on character. And being around them, you can discern, well, what's working in them. I have three boys. They're all vastly different. Completely. And they have different graces and strengths. But what is universal for all of them is the importance of developing godly character. That is the most important thing. And I will add to it and say this. Whoever you allow to be around your children, for parents, in abundance, it's your approval of their influence on them. To me, that's why education is so vital. Especially now when you have ungodly things, Christian persecution happening in public schools on a broader and more in-your-face scale than ever before. I heard someone recently say, well, I want my child to be a light in the school. You'd have no clue what you're talking about. Especially when they're younger, they're being formed, they're building those foundations, and you want to put wrong ingredients in there. I mean, talk to anybody who's built a foundation. You put extra water or whatever, the wrong things in it, it's not going to strengthen the foundation. It's going to weaken it. So we have to make sure we are sober-minded when it comes to these things of what does it really take to build character? What does it really take to help my children or grandchildren be able to move forward in the will of God for their life? What's it going to take? And invest in that. It is not an expense to go to a Christian school. It's an investment. You're going to go on all your vacations and have the newest cars and all the technology, but you won't invest in things like that. Don't blame it on your pocketbook. Blame it on your choices. I'm just saying this matter-of-factly. Not just with schools, but whatever influences. What movies, what friends to hang out with, whatever influences you allow your children to be around. Sometimes you got to say no. Go to that sleepover party? I'm sorry, no. Go to this party? I'm sorry, no. Because God's holding you accountable. He's holding me accountable to how I'm training up my children. And what's put into them will come out of them for better or for worse. Just be sober-minded about this. There's a scripture that says, bad company corrupts good morals. If we like to emphasize thinking it's the opposite. Well, maybe one day it will, but you can't equate your little child to Jesus, who went where heathens were and ministered to them. I'm sorry, your little child is still being a little child. They're being imparted with something that's forming their beliefs, their values, their convictions. We have to be very mindful of that. So what are you doing with your gifts and talents? Do you know what they are? You could always ask those around you. They spend a lot of time with you. What comes out of me a lot? What do you notice about me? I never forget when I was at that Bible school, and even Dale still brings it up, that with teaching on administration, and I'm like wide awake and taking notes, and everyone else is like falling asleep. Like, what is it that excites you? It doesn't matter if it excites somebody else. Who cares? What excites you? What stirs you up? What motivates you? What do you look forward to? What do you read about? Where do you spend your money? Just look at those things. Identify what God's, your grace, his gifts and talents, and develop those things. But make sure parallel to that, even what precedes that, is you walking and developing the Lord, your walk with him. So when those doors open, which will happen, because your gifts will, it doesn't say maybe, your gifts will open doors for you. You can discern which ones to go through and which ones not to. Think about the joy that will bring to the Lord, to your Heavenly Father. Think about, as a parent and grandparent, the joy it will bring to your heart to watch your children or grandchildren walk through the doors that God's opened for them, seeing them maybe encounter challenges, but seeing their faith grow, seeing them being used by God in a greater way. Or is it just seeing them make lots of money? Seeing them become popular? and yet falling away from the Lord. God created you. Some people question their value or their purpose. You know what? People might make bad choices, but no amount of bad choices can change that God chose you. And God, He doesn't make bad choices. He chose you. Praise the Lord. He always meets us where we are in our faith and leads us forward. Remember that man who came to Jesus? I believe, help my unbelief. What did he say? Go and get more holy and more righteous, then come back to me. Go and study this more. No, he said, I will. And he helped him. And I'll bet that man's faith that day grew. To now, he could believe God for this. God wants your faith to continue to grow. Step by step. Keeping in mind, every step of obedience will require greater faith than every previous step. Otherwise, you'll just plateau and not grow. God wants you to keep growing. Not he doesn't want you to plateau. He's into growing, not plateauing. We'll say it that way. He's always moving you forward. And that's what he wants. Because that's what brings him pleasure. God's grace does not give us the freedom to live how we want. It gives us the freedom to live for him. When you understand why God gave you grace, why God gives you gifts and talents and skills and all these things, to be used for his glory, to help him moving things forward, that brings pleasure to him. That brings joy and fulfillment to our lives. I thought that was kind of a, it wasn't something I really emphasized in last week's teaching, but the Lord really just impressed upon me to drill down on just some of those things about what all I just shared. I really, really hope it was received not from a heart of trying to condemn you or make you feel bad or put you down, or it's just we have to be very sober-minded about these things because it is all for the glory of God. Look around us in this world and we're seeing the destruction of what's happening to this world God created because of sin, of people who are living in opposition and in conflict to the ways of God. You know, sometimes praying for God to intervene, he might just say, look in the mirror. Because that's where he wants, might want you to start. Might be something he wants you to do. Praying is always a good thing to do. But what about if God's saying, good, now you do this. You do something. We have to be ready and willing to do that. You can't fill your life with so many good things that you have no breathing room when God would say, stop and do this. He said, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm busy doing these other good things for you. That should be good enough. No, you have to be able to shift course immediately and do what he's called you to do at times. So we have to just be very, 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 that's like that phrase, sober-minded of these things. Now, I'm actually going to stop here a little bit early because the next section really gets into drilling down on what led up in Abraham's life about God then revealing El Shaddai and looking in more detail about some things with his life that led up to that place. But I think this is probably a good place to stop, and when opportunity presents itself, we'll drill down into more on this with Abraham's life. But just to encourage you with building character. Build on your talent. But more importantly, build your character.